Today's scripture may be one of the most used readings from our early Christian letters, the epistles, at the back of the Bible. It is a classic. It is a top 10, I would say, written from the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi, a church that Paul helped found and that he deeply loves. All of you teachers and parents and things like that, maybe Paul might have told someone that he had no favorites of his churches, but he did, and this was it. This was his favorite church. You can tell he loves them deeply. And this letter, then, is a celebration of and an invitation to continue in Christian community and relationship. I've spent a lot of time with this text, and important time at that. It was one of my favorite texts in seminary. And this section that we read today was read as one of the lessons at our wedding when Julia and I got married. It was read by a dear friend. And so when I hear it, I hear his voice. I wonder if you think on it, whose voice you might hear it in as you hear these words read. Because here at the end of his letter, Paul offers encouragement in all things, and the invitation to ground the church and us still today in a practice of reflection and renewal. Hear these words.
So, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you.
So when in doubt, I try to look for what the scriptures are trying to tell me, because I guess that's a good way to start figuring out what to tell you all. And so I started right at the beginning this week. Rejoice always. A good start. Some texts have added exclamation points. Those don't come through in the ancient Greek, but we've added them. Rejoice always. Exclamation point. I pondered for a little while how I would figure out what rejoicing looked like for me versus, you know, being mildly pleased or, you know, very happy. Or maybe something more in the verb category. How do I know when I have rejoiced versus celebrated? Is it roughly equivalent to maybe reveling, or is that less or more? I'm not exactly sure. But rejoice. And then I got distracted and I read the news for a little while, and then I stopped trying to rejoice. And I wondered how I could in the face of so much. Has that ever happened to you? Do you ever sit down with the newspaper and think, well, this will be a lovely meditative practice. I've got my coffee. I've got my newspaper. And then the meditation takes a turn. In Hong Kong right now, in Venezuela, in Syria, in Washington, D.C., all so much that it felt like it weighed me down, maybe even because I was looking for, I swear, I was looking for Jesus there, and maybe even more wondering what on earth Jesus would have me do with all of this. I don't know if you ever find yourself in these kind of times. But if you do, I hope that you know that you are not alone and you have good company here. I also hope you know that The occasional rough read through the paper is not the same as a season of your life in which it is just feels impossible to know hope. And so that if you hit a season of your life when you feel you are feeling hopeless, I hope that you know that we can talk, and I hope that you know that you and I can go and find help together. Support in finding someone else that you may need to talk to, or support in treatment and care. All of those things are prayerful and good. I was reminded this week that I'm not alone in struggling with the sunshiny version of being a Christian sometimes. It was C.S. Lewis who said, "I haven't always been a Christian. I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port could do that." If you want a religion to make you really feel comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. I am certain there must be a patent American article on the market which will suit you far better, but I can't give any advice on it. Nice dig there, C.S. On Thanksgiving, no less, he decided to give us a hard time. Admittedly, we do love to get on with it and throw a party, but I don't know if that's the same thing as rejoicing. We always need the reminder that this whole letter to the Philippians was written by a man in prison. Paul writes from prison to the church at Philippi and says, "Rejoice." Again, I say, rejoice. How? This is not some sort of positive thinking mantra. This is not some invitation to an imitation of life scrubbed clean of any mess or imperfection or pain. This is a reminder to rejoice because not because everything is right, but because things are wrong, but God is with us. The Lord is near, Paul reminds us. And somewhere else he asked, "If God is with us, who can stand against us?" God is with us, and Jesus tells us that he has come so that we might have joy and have it abundantly. Not to mention that the fact that Jesus invited people into his life and ministry and they, like, you know, voluntarily came. I suspect you will find that very few people want to come to a party that doesn't have any joy. I sometimes need to remind myself this and other pastors, but if this Christian life does not have joy in it, it will not attract many people. And so we are told by Paul to come back again and again in prayer and thanksgiving. This holiday, which we celebrate with all of its complicated history in our country, we deeply need it as a nation. Our Puritan and Pilgrim ancestors used days of thanksgiving as a spiritual practice. One of the deepest sources of meditation and joy we can connect to is to pause long enough in our lives to understand exactly how much of that life is a gift. So the relationships that most of us have, most of them other than our employer maybe, you have not had to earn anything about that per se, I hope. It kind of arrived in your life as a pure gift. Now there may be all sorts of commitments and covenants that bind you in that, but I hope that just the natural attraction of that relationship came without any strings attached. The successes that we have had in our lives are a complicated stew of work, yes. I hope there has been hard work, but also of pure gift in the relationships we have nurtured, in happenstance, in the kindness of others, and beyond. All the way down to the skills and interests, which I swear, nowhere in my life did I sit down and go, "I bet you I will be really interested in being a pastor one day, and I will develop those gifts and skills myself." all those things just arose. And I bet the same is true for many of you. Those things that you are interested in, those things that you have natural abilities at, where did those come from? But from God. And then, of course, the very reality of life itself is a gift. There has not been, nor will there ever be again, an experience quite like the one in which we are having all together right now. So right now, breathe in. Breathe out. How amazing is that? That just keeps happening. I don't know how many times you have breathed in your life, but it has come to you as naturally as anything from almost the first moment that you were born. Your body and everything in it has naturally sustained you on. And, you know, I've noticed that there are a few things which I would like to return to the manufacturer at this point in life. But I received it all as a gift. We mine joy from our lives by thinking on the things that Paul invites the Philippians to meditate on today. What is honorable? What is just? What is pure? What is pleasing? What is commendable? What is excellent and worthy of praise? So almost every Sunday here, I invite you to share the joys of your life with one another. You've been doing that since before I came to minister here, and I have to tell you, before I came here, I was like, what is this about? I've heard of joys and concerns, but I've never heard of just joys over here and some concerns over here. What was that about? I'm not sure if I really got this piece of our liturgy. And then, of course, I came and worshiped with you, and I found the thing that I say so often here. Our joys nourish us all. So I'm going to ask you now, what nourishment of the Spirit, what rejoicing, what thanksgiving would you share today? I'm not going to make you take the microphone, but I'm going to ask you to winnow this down to a sentence. Just, I'll point to you if you have one that you'd like to share. I'll probably repeat it. Family. Those relationships which were truly given to us before we could make a choice. Family. Mm-hmm. Time with dear friends that we have known for a long time. Gift. Toto. A community which nourishes us and cares for us, we give thanks. This church, and the way in which it calls us together and sends us together. Deborah, I saw you. Successful completion of a challenge. It's another part of the wonder of who we are and what we can accomplish. Pearl. I'm going to get specific. Trumpet season is back, y'all. Yeah. A home close to family. Dick.
Living in Maine.
Ooh, yes, just living in Maine.
A ladies' breakfast.
Ladies' breakfast.
The Wednesday night prayer service.
All are welcome. Charlie. Yeah, the love we receive in spouses and partners often. Yeah. Those people who literally help deliver life to us through farming and planting and harvesting. The joys of your life. I'm glad that we give you a chance to share them here. It's wonderful to see you. Even introverts, I've noticed, sometimes come in just, you know, bubbling over. They're excited. They're ready to share some joy, some good news. But the joys that you share here, I swear to God, they are not actually just about or for you. They're glimpses of what God is doing in the world in your life. They're glimpses of the gifts of the Spirit. I say all the time that the joys shared here are our daily bread. And just like the Lord's Prayer, they have a taste of that kingdom which we pray comes from God. It opens our hearts and our imaginations to know God's new realm here. The gifts we bless today, even the pledge cards themselves, we bless them because they empower us as a community, as a church, to share the joy and love of God, which we find here over and over again, with a world that can so easily fall into hopelessness. If I haven't said enough in the last few weeks, thank you. Thank you for the chance to minister here. Thank you for showing us all what this community is capable of. And, of course, if you would like to make a gift or a pledge at this point, we are not closing down the gratitude campaign. Those gifts that we share here, they matter. And they have impacts all around us, in our community, with all of us, and in each of our lives. So, see, we are invited to think on these things, not to blind ourselves to the brokenness and the pain of the world, but to give thanks to God for the ability to see and imagine the world as it should be. Each time we get that little glimpse of that, that's what some people would call the moral imagination. To find the possibility of the kingdom of God already present in our lives, and therefore we can commit ourselves more fully to spreading that possibility into reality. We are invited to rejoice and give thanks in this life, not because there are no death-dealing powers of injustice, but because pure gratitude and celebration of true life makes a mockery of death every time, and connects us to the resurrection, which we say has already defeated them. There's a song that I used to sing in, well, much more sad times. It has a line that goes, "Don't ever be embarrassed by your trouble with living, because it's the ones with the sorest throats who have done the most singing." You must not lose that imagination. You must never stop rejoicing in the glimpses and glimmers of its hope for the world made new by the presence and promises of God. God is near. Near to us as breathing. Near to us as the joy that your neighbor may be carrying. Near to us as the joy you might be keeping to yourself. So don't, will you please, share it. Share them with rejoicing and thanksgiving, for they may be what sparks the transformation that God has been calling for all along. Rejoice. Thanks be to God for the chance to revel, celebrate, and rejoice in this life together. Amen.